Chapter 3. What devil made me do it, I cannot tell. Yes, while he gazed above, I put my arm about her, that he might see, nor doubt her my plighted love. The pale face vanished quick, as if blasted, from the casement, and my shame and self-abasement began their prick. And they prick on, ceaselessly, for that stab in love's fierce fashion which, unfired by lover's passion, was foreign to me. She smiled at my caress, but why came the soft embowment of her shoulder at that moment she did not guess. Long, long years has he lain in thy garth, O sad Saint Cleather. What tears there, bared to weather, will cleanse that stain? Love is long-suffering, brave, sweet, prompt, precious as a jewel, but oh too, love is cruel, cruel as the grave. Lost love? I play my sweet old airs the airs he knew when our love was true, but he does not balk his determined walk, and passes up the stairs. I sing my songs once more, and presently hear his footstep near, as if it would stay, but he goes his way, and shuts a distant door. So I wait for another morn, and another night in this soul-sick light, and I wonder much as I sit, why such a woman as I was born. My spirit will not haunt the mound, my spirit will not haunt the mound above my breast, but travel, memory possessed, to where my tremulous being found life largest, best. My phantom-footed shape will go when nightfall graze hither and thither along the ways I, and another used to know in backward days. And there you'll find me, if a jot you still should care for me, and for my curious air. If otherwise, then I shall not, for you, be there. Wessex Heights, 1896. There are some heights in Wessex, shaped as if by a kindly hand for thinking, dreaming, dying on, and at crises when I stand, say, on Inkpen Beacon eastward, or on Will's Neck westwardly, I seem where I was before my birth, and after death maybe. In the lowlands I have no comrade, not even the lone man's friend her who suffereth long and is kind, accepts what he is too weak to mend. Down there they are dubious and askance. There nobody thinks as I, but mine chains do not clank where one's next neighbor is the sky. In the towns I am tracked by phantoms, having weird detective ways shadows of beings who fellowed with myself of earlier days. They hang about at places, and they say harsh heavy things men with a frigid sneer, and women with tart disparagings. Down there I seem to be false to myself, my simple self that was, and is not now, and I see him watching, wondering what crass cause can have merged him into such a strange continuator as this, who yet has something in common with himself, my chrysalis. I cannot go to the great gray plain, there's a figure against the moon, nobody sees it but I, and it makes my breast beat out of tune. I cannot go to the tall spired town, being barred by the forms now past for everybody but me, in whose long vision they stand there fast. There's a ghost at Yelham Bottom chiding loud at the fall of the night, there's a ghost in Froomside Vale, thin-lipped and vague, in a shroud of white, there is one in the railway train, whenever I do not want it near, I see its profile against the pane, saying what I would not hear. As for one rare fair woman, I am now, but a thought of hers. I enter her mind and another thought succeeds me that she prefers. Yet my love for her in its fullness she herself even did not know. Well, time cures hearts of tenderness, and now I can let her go. So I am found on Inkpen Beacon, or on Will's Neck to the west, or else on homely Bulbarrow, or little Pilsden Crest, where men have never cared to haunt, nor women have walked with me, and ghosts then keep their distance, and I know some liberty. In death divided, I shall rot here, with those whom in their day you never knew, and alien ones who, ere they chilled to clay, met not my view, will in your distant grave place ever neighbor you. 2. No shade of pinnacle or tree or tower, while earth endures, will fall on my mound, and within the hour steal onto yours. 1. Robin never haunt our two green covertures. 3. Some organ may resound on Sunday noons by where you lie, some other thrill the pains with other tunes where molder I. No self-same chords compose our common lullaby. IV, the simply cut memorial at my head perhaps may take a Gothic form, and that above your bed, be Greek in make. No linking symbol show thereon for our tale's sake. V, and in the monotonous moils of strained, hard-run humanity, the eternal tie which binds us twain in one know I will see stretching across the miles that sever you from me. The place on the map, I look upon the map that hangs by me its shires and towns and rivers lined in varnished artistry and I mark a jutting height colored purple with a margin of blue sea. 2. 'Twas a day of latter summer, hot and dry. A. Even the waves seemed drying as we walked on, she and I, by this spot where, calmly quiet, she informed me what would happen by and by. 3. This hanging map depicts the coast and place, and resuscitates therewith our unexpected troublous case all distinctly to my sight, and her tension, and the aspect of her face. IV, weeks and weeks we had loved beneath that blazing blue, which had lost the art of raining, as her eyes today had to, while she told what, as by slight, shot our firmament with rays of ruddy hue. V, for the wonder and the wormwood of the whole, was that what in realms of reason would have joyed our double soul wore a torrid tragic light under order-keeping's rigorous control. Vi, so, the map revives her words, the spot, the time, and the thing we found we had to face before the next year's prime. The charted coast stares bright, and its episode comes back in pantomime. Where the picnic was, where we made the fire, in the summer time, of branch and briar on the hill to the sea I slowly climb through winter mire, and scan and trace the forsaken place quite readily. Now a cold wind blows, and the grass is gray, but the spot still shows as a burnt circle eye, and stick ends, charred, still strew the sward whereon I stand, last relic of the band who came that day. Yes, I am here just as last year, and the sea breathes brine from its strange straight line up hither, the same as when we four came. But two have wandered far from this grassy rise into urban roar where no picnics are, and one has shut her eyes forevermore. The Schreckhorn, with thoughts of Leslie Stephen, June 1897. Aloof, as if a thing of mood and whim, now that its spare and desolate figure gleams upon my nearing vision, less it seems a looming alpite than a guise of him who scaled its horn with ventured life and limb, drawn on by vague imaginings, maybe, of semblance to his personality in its quaint glooms, keen lights, and rugged trim. At his last change, when life's dull coils unwind, will he, in old love, hitherward escape, and the eternal essence of his mind enter this silent adamantine shape, and his low voicing haunt its slipping snows, when dawn that calls the climber dyes them rose. A singer asleep, Algernon Charles Swinburne, 1837-1909. I. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.